It seems like a cruel trick after Pentecost and the end of Easter season when we've been reading all through Lent, Holy Week, Easter season, Pentecost, the narratives of Jesus' life and death and resurrection, his time with the apostles, his ascension, the coming of the Spirit. After Pentecost, we get two Sundays which seem to be, well, the way some people talk them, about them, it's sort of the two stumbling blocks which God put there for us just to test our faith. Last week we had Trinity Sunday, and so often people treat Trinity as though it's just a very difficult math problem. And anyway, it's a mystery, so let's just go on. I'm not going to give you my sermon on the Trinity, maybe next year. And then we get Corpus Christi, which seems, again, one of those things where God is saying, I'm going to give you something that seems so appalling, so impossible to understand, so gross even. And I just want to force you to believe, even though you don't understand. We treat these 2 weeks as though they're stumbling blocks put there just to test our faith. Particularly this one as Catholics, because we have put so much emphasis on the body and blood of the Lord. You know the term hocus pocus? You've heard hocus pocus, it's sort of a magic trick. Well, the origin of that term hocus pocus was people making fun of the words of the Eucharist, hoc est anim corpus meum, as Jesus, this is my body. Oh, Catholics just believe in hocus pocus. This is not hocus pocus. This is not just a stumbling block set there to test our faith. It starts there, as we did in the first reading from Deuteronomy. Moses is talking to the people, and he said, it's not by bread alone that one lives, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. It's not by bread alone that you live, not just by food, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And that's that phrase, that sentence from Deuteronomy, is the beginning of all this. John, in his gospel, gives us that other key sentence of our faith. The Word became flesh. Now let's connect up the dots. We do not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. But the word that comes from the mouth of God to us, we believe, comes not in Hebrew or in Aramaic or Greek or worse still, Latin. It comes to us in flesh and blood. That's at the heart of our faith, and that is what fundamentally about what this feast is celebrating. We celebrate that the Word of God, which gives us life, which makes us truly alive, is not a word addressed simply to our minds. It's not a word we can hear simply with our ears. It's not a word that is just spiritual. It's not a word that is immaterial. It's a word spoken to us in flesh and blood. And we know flesh and blood. I mean, every one of us is flesh and blood, right? We know the language of flesh and blood. We know what it is to be just flesh and blood. And that is the language in which God has chosen to speak who God is to us. To speak in the body language, in the crucifixion, in the resurrection. to speak forgiveness by bearing everything that is laid upon him, to speak love by embracing, to speak humility by washing feet with his own hands on his own knees, to speak reconciliation by cooking breakfast on the beach for the very people who had run away and left him in his hour of need. God has spoken to us. The word of God that gives us life is a word spoken in flesh and blood. And so this feast is not simply about what God is doing on this table, about what God is doing fiddling with the atoms or the accidents or the substance of some bread and some wine. Corpus Christi is not about what God is doing in the tabernacle. The feast of the body and blood of the Lord is what God is doing in the flesh and blood here gathered. God is not busy trying to change bits of bread into something. God is busy trying to change flesh and blood. God is busy trying to change and transform the community of believers who gather at this table into food, food for the world. God is trying to take the flesh and blood of each one of us and transform us as he transformed Jesus into the very life of God, into the very message of God. We are the body of Christ. We are infused with the blood of Christ. But if our life together as church is bloodless, if our life together as church doesn't include bodies and materiality and the world as it really is, a human life in its fullness, if it's just up here, if it's just ticking off a certain list of theological propositions, then it's not church and it's not faith. And it's not life. We don't live by bread alone. We live by the bread that is God's word. And the bread that is God's word, as Jesus says, is flesh and blood. St. Augustine said, we dare not reach out our hand to receive the body of the Lord at communion, unless we are also ready to reach out our hand to touch those in need. We are ready to reach out our hand to the poor, ready to reach out a hand to someone who's grieving, ready to reach out a hand to someone who is sick. We dare not take the body of the Lord at the table of the Eucharist unless we are embodied, unless we are ready to live as God's body in this flesh and blood world. And so what we celebrate today is not just a mystery of what God is doing in bread and wine, because if it stopped there, if it stopped over in the tabernacle, that wouldn't be good news. What we are celebrating today and what we celebrate every day is what God is doing in us, in each one, but even more importantly, in us as church. This is the body and blood of Christ. This is food given for the world. We are it. That is the miracle God is trying to achieve, not some hocus pocus. As Paul said in that second reading, the bread which we break is a participation in the body of the Lord. It's about participating. It's about taking a role, taking a part. And we have something of a crisis in the world, in the church. Because at the moment, I mean, here we're fine. You've got four people on the staff, four priests to celebrate the Eucharist many times a week. You've got a whole house full of pinch hitters down on the campus. But in many parts of the world, there are no priests to celebrate Eucharist. We're hanging on to an idea that priestly celibacy is perhaps more important even than the people having the Eucharist. How can that be? How can we celebrate the feast of Corpus Christi, the body and blood of the Lord, and accept that somehow the custom of priestly celibacy is going to stand in the way of the whole church celebrating Eucharist regularly? There are many married men who have been ordained priests, to say nothing. At the moment, I'm not going to address the question of women priests, which is a whole other issue. But even for the bishops to do what they perfectly well can do, to ordain married men because they see the Eucharist as central to who we are and who God is trying to make of us, it's a crisis. It's a scandal. And it's on this day, as we consider who we are as church and who we are called to be as body and blood of the Lord, that we pray that the Spirit may transform our church. We pray that people's vocation may be recognized. We pray that the Eucharist will truly become the center of the church and not simply a convenience which can be provided as long as there are men who have a vocation to celibacy.